Legacy of Marcus Borg. These podcasts provide a concise summary of Borg's groundbreaking work, introduces a small and exciting way to see God, Jesus, the Bible, and the Christian language that we use. For those familiar with the writings of Marcus Borg, these podcasts will be a refresher. For others, we hope these podcasts will inspire you to investigate his books and lectures that are posted on the Marcus Borg Foundation website. Today's session, The God We Never Knew. Here is your writer and host, Brant Pope.
Hello, this is Brant Pope, and on behalf of the Marcus Borg Foundation, welcome to the third in a series of seminars on the work and importance of this extraordinary theologian, teacher, and Christian. In our first podcast, we talked about the thousands of people around the world who have read the books of Marcus Borg and how he's inspired a new understanding and appreciation for the Christian faith. Indeed, for many people, the work of Marcus Borg helped them re-engage their Christian faith journey. Seeing Christianity again through new eyes is the lasting legacy of this very great man. In this session, I want to examine how Borg shows us a new and different way of thinking about God. Because how we see God, how we think of God, how we understand God's relationship to the world, and how we assess the character of God is, in effect, how we view reality itself. Without a robust affirmation of the reality of God, Christianity makes no sense. In his many books, Marcus Borg asks why it is that the importance of God has declined so significantly in Western culture. His answer is that the concept of God found in supernatural theism, the Father-God vision of the ultimate reality, no longer makes sense in the worldview of many people. Our worldview is the image of reality and the lens through which we see that reality. Our worldview shapes our sense of what is real. A religious worldview in any culture sees a non-material layer or level of reality, an extra dimension of reality, a more. This more has various names: God, Yahweh, Tao, Allah, Spirit, Brahman. What we might call the secular or naturalistic worldview began with the intellectual movement called the Enlightenment in the 17th century. This worldview sees the universe as operating according to natural physical laws, which science continues to explore and understand. Because this is the dominant worldview in modern Western culture, this is considered the modern worldview. Since the Enlightenment, these two worldviews have collided in Western culture. The modern worldview has no foundational place for God, and this makes the reality of God problematic. For some people, it leads to doubts and outright rejection of the reality of God. The modern worldview has also changed the way Christians think of God. Most Christians basically accept the modern worldview's image of reality, but then they sort of splice God into it. God created the space-time world of matter and energy, set it in motion according to natural laws, and sometimes God intervenes in it. God is therefore a supernatural being out there who created the universe from which God is usually removed. This is the Father-God conception of the more, of which we spoke in our first session. It is called supernatural theism. Supernatural theism imagines God as a person-like being who created the world a long time ago as something separate from himself. So God and the world are very different. God is up in heaven, out there, beyond the universe. God is conceived in interventionist terms because he is out there. In the Father-God theology, God occasionally comes from out there to intervene in this world. These interventions include spectacular events in the Bible, parting the Red Sea, the birth of Jesus from a virgin, and the death and resurrection of Jesus. They also include God's involvement in certain events in the lives of people and nations throughout history. And so the Father God theology sees God as continuing to intervene, even today, in response to our prayers. But this concept of God as an interventionist is completely contrary to the belief that God is present. If God can be made to intervene because of our petitions, or he intervenes himself as his will dictates, how do we account for non-intervention? Given all of the horrible things that happen in the world, does the notion that God intervenes make any sense? If God could have stopped the Holocaust, but chose not to do so, what does that say about God? If God could choose to prevent COVID-19, or prevent a tsunami, or keep the 737s from crashing, what about the small tragedies of life? Disfigurement, disease, the devastating death of a child. Are we to believe that God intervenes for some and not others? This is the dead end of the Father God theology. When God out there is emphasized over God being right here, God's relationship to the world is distorted. The notion of God becomes harder and harder to accept. If God is only out there, as the Father God theology suggests, then God is very distant. And an absent and remote God quite easily becomes no God at all. So common is the supernatural theism of Father Godism that most people can only define and understand God in this way. For them, believing in God means believing in a person-like being out there. Not believing this means not believing in God. Marcus Borg loved to tell a story that I've witnessed countless times in talking with students at the University of Texas. A student approached Marcus after one of his classes and said to him, "Well, this is all very interesting, but you see, I don't believe in God." So Marcus asked the young man, "Tell me about this God you don't believe in." And as soon as the young man began to answer, there he was. The God of supernatural theism. To the absolutely shocked student, Marcus replied, "Well, I don't believe in that God either." This concept of God is the same one that Richard Dawkins and Christopher Hitchens are rejecting in their new atheism writings. They are simply not aware that there is another way of understanding God other than supernatural theism. To Dawkins and Hitchens, and to the student, Marcus Borg would say, "I don't believe in that God either." Marcus Borg argues that there is a profoundly different way of thinking about the more, about God. Rather than imagining God as a person-like being out there, there is another concept that is as solidly embedded in the Bible as is the Father God theology. Borg tells us this is called panentheism. And this second way of thinking about the more imagines God and the relationship with the world entirely differently. Rather than imagining God as the father-like super being out there, this concept imagines God as the encompassing spirit in whom everything that is, is. The universe is not separate from God, but rather is in God. The language of this concept flows through the Bible. In the book of Acts, Paul is said to proclaim, "God is the one in whom we live and move and have our being." Where are we in relationship to God? We are in God. We live, move, and have our being in God. God is not out there, but right here, all around us. No, this does not reduce God to being synonymous with the universe. Rather, as the encompassing spirit, God is more than everything, even as everything is in God. So God is not only right here, but also more than right here. This also completely changes the way we see the relationship between God and the world. The notion of intervention disappears because God is not out there and doesn't need to intervene to act here. Rather than speaking of divine intervention, we can now speak of divine intention and divine interaction. God is not the direct cause of events, but instead, God is a presence beneath and within our everyday lives. For Marcus Borg, panentheism is a more vital form of theism because it emphasizes both the transcendence and presence of God. It is more biblical and more orthodox than the Father God theology. The word God does not refer to a particular existing being, but rather, God is our name for what is, the ultimate reality for being itself. The question of God is not the question, is there a supreme being in addition to the universe? The question is, what name are we going to use for isness without limitations? This is the counter definition of God, counter to the Father God vision of supernatural theism. God is not a being. God is a name we use for the awesome, wonderful more that includes the universe, even as God transcends the universe. God is the name of the encompassing spirit, the one in whom we live and move and have our being. God is the name for that which is all around us and within us. God is the one in whom the universe is, even as God is more than the universe. God is the mystery beyond all names. I know. I've been asked this a million times when I do seminars. I can hear the voices of so many people who'll say, well, I'm sure glad you told me this because I've been praying and talking to God my whole life. How do I do that with something that is all around me and within me? Does this mean that God is impersonal? That there's nobody to talk to? Marcus Borg had no problem personifying God and addressing God as one would a person. The problem is when we literalize this person, because that brings us back to the Father God supernatural theism. Instead, Borg would say, imagine God as more of a presence than an impersonal energy or a force. Imagine God as a presence that has more the quality of you than it. It is our relationship to God that is personal. The relationship engages us as persons at our deepest and most passionate level. So how then do we practice our prayer life with this new understanding of God? I mean, if God is not the Father, not a being, and does not intervene in human affairs, what happens to our prayers for help for ourselves and others? If we can free ourselves from the idea that prayer is for the purpose of intervention, then we can begin to see that prayer is primarily about paying attention to God. Marcus Borg admitted that he used petitionary and intercessional prayers all the time. And why would he do this if God is not an interventionist? Because he felt that not to do this would seem like an absence of love. Prayers for healing sometimes have an effect, and perhaps Other kinds of prayers do as well. We don't know the mechanism at work between prayer and healing. But to refuse to do them because we can't imagine how and why prayer works, well, it's a kind of arrogance, isn't it? The central purpose of prayer, of all kind, is intimacy with God. And our relationship with God deepens through such intimacy, through disclosure, and through conversation. By doing these things, we spend time in the relationship. We remind ourselves of it, and we remember it. And it is through this relationship with what is that we often encounter internal proddings or leadings. Sometimes through people, sometimes through devotional practice, sometimes through encounter with Scripture. It is in this relationship that we have a sense of being called. Listen to your life. Listen to what happens to you. Because it is through what happens to you that God speaks, that God calls. Seeing God as the one in whom we live and move and have our being means that prayer is not addressing a distant being who may or may not be there, may or may not answer. Rather, it is within the framework of seeing God as right here and all around us, as one with whom we are already in relationship. Prayer, verbal and nonverbal, becomes the primary means of consciously entering and nurturing a relationship with God. Prayer is attending to our relationship with God. So can we say anything about this presence, this God with whom we are in relationship? Even though God is not a father, not a super being out there, we can say important things about the character of God. By the character of God, we mean, what is this God most basically like? Because how we see the character of God shapes our sense of what faithfulness to God means and what the Christian life is all about. Perhaps the best way for Christians to understand what God must be like is to explore the revelation of the divine presence in the person of Jesus. In our next podcast, we will turn to Jesus. So if these ideas have inspired you, I urge you to get a copy of Marcus's marvelous book, The God We Never Knew. Thank you.